tell me, General, where's the hotline?
The phone.
The one to Russia.
The red hotline, sir.
From Downing Street.
So in an emergency, I can get straight through to the Soviet president?
Theoretically, yes.
Theoretically?
That's what we tell journalists. In fact, we did once get through to the Kremlin, but only to a switchboard operator.
Didn't the operator put you through?
We never found out. She didn't seem to speak much English.
How often is it tested?
Well, they try not to test it too often. It tends to create unnecessary panic at the other end. And panic is always a good thing to avoid where nuclear weapons are concerned, isn't it?
Yes. Mm. Now, this is it. Ah, good. What is it?
The trigger, Prime Minister.
The trigger?
The nuclear trigger, the button. Oh,
this?
Indirectly. This is the telex communication with HMS Norfolk. You would send a coded signal, and the telex operator, Northwood, would send an authentication signal.
So he knows it's from you, you see?
And when the instruction's been authenticated and the target indication made, Northwood would send a command to one of our Polaris submarines, and they'd press the button.
Just like that?
Just like that.
When I say so?
When you say so.
Well, wouldn't anybody argue with me?
The officers obey orders without question.
Well, what if I have to get drunk?
On the whole, it would be safer if you didn't. Well, it's your job and you want to do it, Prime Minister.
Supposing I were to go off my rocker?
I think the Cabinet might notice.
No, seriously, I mean, supposing I did and then changed my mind.
Well, that's all right. No one would ever know, would they?
How many bombs are there?
Four Polaris submarines, 16 missiles in each, 3 warheads per missile.
But how many actual bombs?
Oh, 192.
Each one at least 5 times the power of the Hiroshima bomb.
I know what you're thinking. Not very many.
What do you know? Probably
not. Not the 1,200 Soviet missiles trained on Britain waiting to retaliate instantly.
1,200?
Still,
Britain's always fought against the odds, haven't they? The Armada, Battle of Britain.
Yes, and of course, we have a great deal more firepower at our disposal when we get trapped.
In the meantime, thank goodness for conventional forces.
Well, Minister, our conventional forces would hold the Russians for, at most, 72 hours.
Is that all?
Mm-hmm.
So, in the event of an emergency, I would have to make an instant decision.
Oh, no. You'd probably have 12 hours.
12 hours? Shouldn't we do something about this?
We should. For 20 years, our politicians have told us they can't afford the conventional forces to do the job.
Conventional forces are terribly expensive, Prime Minister. Much cheaper just to press a button.
So, how long should we allow for this meeting?
72 hours.
Fine. It's only the New Zealand High Commissioner. Isn't 72 hours a bit generous?
I was just thinking how long we could hold the Russians. Still, if we could persuade the Americans to strengthen their conventional forces...
I don't think it'll make much difference.
Oh?
Well, apparently, the American troops in Germany are also drug-ridden. They don't know which side they're on anyway. And during the last NATO exercises, the U.S. troops dispersed and picnicked in the woods with lady soldiers.
What about the other NATO armies?
Oh, they're all right. On weekdays, anyway. Yes, the Dutch, Danish and Belgian armies go home for the weekend.
So, on the whole, if the Russians are going to invade, we'd prefer them to do it between Monday and Friday. Is this widely known?
Well, if I know it, I'm sure the Russians do. The Kremlin usually gets NATO defense information before it filters through to us at number 10.
So it comes back to Trident.
When it comes.
When it comes.
If it works.
If it works. What do you mean?
Well, normally when new weapons are delivered, the warheads don't fit the ends of the rockets. That's what happened to Polaris, you know, the sort of thing. Wiring faults, microchip failure. We didn't have the means of firing Polaris for some years. Cruise is probably the same. Trident might be too.
But this is intolerable. We should take the manufacturers to court.
We can't risk the publicity, security, and they know it.
Well, we should change the manufacturers.
Well, we do all the time. The trouble is, all the manufacturers know that too. That's why that torpedo landed on Sandwich Golf Course.
Sandwich Golf Course? I didn't read that in the papers.
No, of course not. There was a cover-up. The members just found a new bunker on the seventh fairway.
So the torpedoes don't work either.
Oh, no, no, no. It's only the new ones that don't work. The others are fine. The ones that were designed during the Second World War.
They were 40 years ago.
Well, yes, but they had lots of testing. You can't afford luxuries like that with the modern ones.
Why not?
Well, if there's a nuclear war, Prime Minister, it won't last long enough for the weapons to be tested.
Bernard, are there other things I don't know about the defence of the United Kingdom?
I don't know, Prime Minister. I don't know what you don't know. If you did want another view, I know the government's chief scientific advisor sees the problem rather differently from the MOD.
I'd like to see him. Now.
A late drink might be wiser. Better not to let the Cabinet Office know. Sir Humphrey gets very upset. He doesn't regard the chief scientific advisor as one of us.
I thought he won the DSO at Arnhem.
That doesn't make up for speaking with an Austrian accent. And he certainly didn't go to Oxford or Cambridge. He didn't even go to the LSE.
Prime Minister, you do believe in the nuclear deterrent?
Oh, yes.
Why?
A big one?
Why?
Because it deters.
Whom?
A big one?
Whom? Whom does it deter?
Well, the Russians from attacking us.
Why?
A big one?
Why?
Because they know that if they were to launch an attack, I'd press the button.
You would?
Well, wouldn't I?
Well, would you?
Last resort, yes. Yes, I certainly would. Well, I think I certainly would. Yes.
And what is the last resort?
If the Russians were to invade Western Europe.
But you only have 12 hours to decide, so the last resort is also the first response. Is that what you are saying?
Mine?
You don't need to worry. Why should the Russians annex the whole of Europe? They can't even control Afghanistan. Now, if they try anything, it will be salami tactics.
Salami tactics?
Slice by slice. One small piece at a time. So will you press the button if they invade West Berlin?
It all depends.
On what? Scenario one. Riots in West Berlin. Buildings in flames. East German fire brigade crosses the border to help. Would you press the button? The East German police come with them. The button. Then some troops. More troops, just for riot control, they say. And then the East German troops are replaced by Russian troops. Button. Then the Russian troops don't go. They are invited to stay to support civilian administration. The civilian administration closes roads and Tempelhof Airport. Now you press the button.
I need time to think about this.
You have 12 hours.
Have I? You're inventing this.
You are Prime Minister today. The phone might ring now from NATO headquarters.
Hello, yes. NATO headquarters. Can you address their annual conference in April?
I thought I could. I'm not so sure now.
Yes.
Scenario two. Russian army maneuvers take them accidentally on purpose across the West German frontier. Is that the last resort?
No.
Right. Scenario three. Suppose the Russians have invaded and occupied West Germany, Belgium, Holland, France. Suppose their tanks and troops have reached the English Channel. Suppose they are poised for an invasion. Is that the last resort?
No.
Why not?
Well, we'd only fight a nuclear war to defend ourselves. How could we defend ourselves by committing suicide?
So what is the last resort, Piccadilly? Botford Gap Service Station? The Reform Club?
The nuclear deterrent makes no sense.
Yes, it does. If either the Russians or the Americans have the bomb, then the other side must have it too. And we might as well keep Polaris just in case.
I don't understand. What are you proposing?
Chancellor Trident. Spend the £15 billion you save on conventional forces, because you wouldn't really press the button, would you?
I might, if I were given no choice.
Oh, but they'll never put you into a situation where you have no choice. They'll stick to their salami tactics, remember.
All right. Well, supposing we cancel Trident and channel £15 billion into conventional forces, what do we spend it on? Tanks?
No. We spend it on E.T.
Extraterrestrials.
Emergent technology.
What's that?
Smart missiles, target finding, infrared.
And who would operate this E.T.?
You need a large conventional arm.
A large conventional. I've got an idea. Oh,
Wait a minute. I think I can see how to do this. First, we cancel Trident.
Yes.
We don't buy crews either.
Yes.
Then we introduce conscription.
Yes.
Not only do we solve our defence problems, we solve our unemployment problems as well.
Yes. Prime Minister, isn't conscription a rather courageous policy?
Courageous? Oh, my God, is it? No. In times of full employment, it would be. But now, we just give unemployed young people something to do. We teach them trades and skills. Might even teach them to read. The army never discharged anyone who was illiterate. We could make them wash. We'd give our young people a comprehensive education to make up for their comprehensive education.
Call it national service. Send the young people out into the community services.
With one policy, we solve our defence, educational and unemployment problems. Isn't that so, Professor? This is wonderful. I see it all now. A new deal for Britain. Hacker's grand design. From time to time in our great island story, it falls to one man. Lead his people out of the valley of the shadow and into the sunlit uplands of peace and prosperity. Why didn't I think of this before?
Because we only just met.
What's for lunch?
You tell me.
You going somewhere?
Voluntary Services Committee. I did tell you.
Oh, yes. God, well, I just thought you scrambled eggs or something.
Oh, I think there's some eggs in the fridge.
Do you want me to do it?
We agreed that I'd carry on with my work, didn't we?
Yes, of course.
Foreign Office telegrams, Prime Minister.
Well, what do you say?
It's bad enough living in this goldfish bowl anyway. Every time I want to slip out for a sliced loaf, I have to walk past a dozen journalists and 50 gawping tourists. There's no privacy anywhere.
Now, that's not true.
Sorry, Prime Minister. Security check. Could I just look around?
Oh, yes. Carry on.
Privacy?
You always walk in the garden?
There are about 60 people staring at you from the windows. It's like exercising in a prison yard. And to think we actually have to pay rent for this place, they should pay us.
At least it's quiet.
Quiet?
Not usually.
That's been going on since 7:30 this morning.
They've got to practice somewhere.
Why here?
Darling, they're horse guards. That's the horse guards parade.
All clear, Prime Minister. Sorry to bother you.
And you must realise, darling, a career in public service involves some sacrifice.
Fine. You sacrifice your lunch. I'm late.
I'm hungry.
Ah. Oh.
What did you have for your lunch?
Half a Yorkie bar.
Where's the other half? Bernard.
Yes, Prime Minister.
Had a good lunch?
Oh, quite good. Thank you, Prime Minister.
Where'd you have it?
In the cabinet mess.
Three courses?
Yes.
Wine?
A glass of claret, yes.
Would you like to know what I had for my lunch?
Do you want to tell me, Prime Minister?
Nothing.
Ah, are you dieting?
The team's got a facilities for feeding you and all the private secretaries. The entire cabinet office, the press office, the gardening girls, the messengers, but not for me, and I live here.
I'm sorry, can't Mrs. Hacker cook for you?
She's out at work. Oh. Well, we'll get you a cook. Who will pay for it?
You will, it's your cook.
How much?
Full time, between 8,000 and 10,000 a year.
I can't afford that.
Well, perhaps if you had a word with the cabinet secretary.
Yes, bring him here now.
Yes, he's due here in a few minutes in any case, so shall we press on with the affairs of the nation?
Stuff the affairs of the nation, I want to cook.
In the meantime, Malcolm Warren from the press office would like a word.
All right, bring him in.
Good afternoon, Prime Minister.
Oh, good afternoon, Malcolm. I'm expecting the cabinet secretary at any moment, so could we keep this brief?
Oh, certainly. Two things. First and most important, we should discuss your first appearance on TV as Prime Minister.
Ah, now, that is important. Perhaps we ought to leave it until we've time to do it more thoroughly. What's the other thing?
Your official visit to Washington. Of course, that's slightly less important.
What about it?
Well, there's an awful lot of press seem to want to come.
Well, let them.
They're very expensive.
Malcolm! I shall be standing there on the White House lawn side by side with the President of the United States of America. National anthems. Two world leaders together. He will tell the world about our happy relationship. Our unity. Resolve.
A few words, perhaps, about my own courage, wisdom. Don't you realise how important this is to me? Well, I mean, not to me, to Britain. My prestige, our place in the world. My place in the history books.
Yes, Prime Minister.
Ah, come in, Huffman. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Malcolm.
Malcolm.
Humphrey. I've been thinking.
Good.
I've been Prime Minister for, oh, let me see, 3 days now.
And a very good PM you are, too, if I may say.
I'm not fishing for compliments, though it has been going rather well.
Oh, indeed.
Nice to be able to reward one's old allies. Mm. Was Ron Jones pleased with this peerage?
Oh, yes, Prime Minister. He said his members would be delighted.
His members?
Yes, the members of his union, the National Federation.
I didn't mean him. I meant our backbencher. I meant to give a peerage to Ron Jones, not Ron Jones. The hell!
Well, if it's any consolation, Prime Minister, I gather he was awfully pleased.
I'll bet he was. Well, what are we going to do about Ron Jones's peerage? Give him one too?
With respect, Prime Minister, we can't send two Lord Ron Jones to the Upper House. It'll look like a job lot.
I'll give him something, I promised.
Well, what's he interested in? Does he watch television?
He hasn't even got a set.
Fine, make him a governor of the BBC.
Anything else? Yes, one small thing. I need a cook housekeeper for the flat upstairs.
Well, I'm sure you can advertise.
No, no. I mean a government cook housekeeper.
Ah. Now, that could be difficult.
Why?
Well, it's a private home. It just happens to be in a government building.
I just happen to live there. I just happen to eat there. I want somebody to cook my lunch. It's not unreasonable.
No, it's just not possible.
You mean I have the power to blow up the world, but not to ask for scrambled eggs?
You have the power to ask for them.
What if I were to ask the German ambassador?
Well, that's all right. Official engagement. Government hospitality will happily provide a 7-course meal with 3 wines and brandy. No problem.
You mean the German ambassador's lunch is government business, but mine isn't?
That is so. Not just the German ambassador. Of course, any ambassador's.
Fine. Brother, get the diary. On Monday, I'll have lunch with the German ambassador. On Tuesday, with the French ambassador. On Wednesday, with the American ambassador. Oh, mustn't leave out the Commonwealth. On Thursday, I'll have lunch with the New Zealand High Commissioner. How many countries are there in the UN?
Well, 158.
Good. That'll take up about 6 months, then we'll start round again.
Sir, you're not free to have lunch with ambassadors every day. Sometimes there will be other official lunches.
Even better, we'll fill up the odd gaps.
I think that the Foreign and Commonwealth Office might have some views on that.
Oh, why?
Well, they always say that one Prime Minister's lunch with an ambassador destroys 2 years of patient diplomacy. I'm not quite sure how they'd react to 158.
Sir, we haven't got somebody here to cater for.
It's the way things have been done for 2.5 centuries.
And that's the clinching argument.
It has been for 2.5 centuries.
So, with respect, Sir Humphrey, it can't have been the clinching argument for 2.5 centuries. Because half a century ago, it had only been the clinching argument for 2 centuries. And a century ago, it had only been 1.5.
Sorry. Humphrey, I'm not convinced. Mm-hmm. I want a cook housekeeper, and I want you to see that she's paid for.
Well, let me put it like this. Do you really want the press to announce that your first act as Prime Minister was to give yourself an effective salary increase of £8,000 to £10,000 a year?
We wouldn't tell them.
We have no alternative. Prime Minister's salaries and expenses must be published.
You mean there's really no way that we can't not tell
them? Open government, Prime Minister. Freedom of information. We should always tell the press freely and frankly anything that they could easily find out some other way. Now, may we perhaps discuss government business, Prime Minister? You were saying that you'd been thinking.
Ah, yes. I would agree that so far my premiership has been a great success.
Oh, indeed.
Yes, and I've been asking myself, what can I do to continue this run of success?
Have you considered masterly inactivity?
No, the Prime Minister must be firm.
Indeed. How about firm masterly inactivity?
I shall be firm. I've decided to cancel Trident, channel £15 billion into conventional forces, and reintroduce conscription. At one stroke, which is followed by the fix, balance of payments, unemployment, and educational problems, all of us. What is that?
You can't just reorganize the entire defense of the realm just like that.
I'm the Prime Minister.
Yes, but
I have the power.
Yes, within the law and the constitution and the constraints of administrative precedent, budgetary feasibility and cabinet government. So you plan to buy crews instead?
No, we shall buy no more nuclear weapons.
But Prime Minister, You're not a secret unilateralist.
No, we still have Polaris.
But Polaris is a ramshackle old system. The Soviets might easily develop a multi-layered ballistic missile defense system which could intercept Polaris.
By when?
But in strategic terms, any day now.
By what year, precisely?
2020. And that's sooner than you think.
But are you saying that this nuclear defense system would stop all 192 Polaris missiles?
Well, not all, no, virtually all, 97%.
Well, that would still leave, what, about five bombs that would get through?
Precisely, a mere five.
Enough to obliterate Moscow, Leningrad, and Minsk.
Yes, but that's about all.
I thought it was enough to make the Russians stop and think.
But it's not fair. With Trident, we could obliterate the whole of Eastern Europe.
Why would they obliterate the whole of Eastern Europe?
It's a deterrent.
It's a bluff. I probably wouldn't use it.
Yes, but they don't know that you probably wouldn't.
They probably do.
Yes, they probably know that you probably wouldn't, but they can't certainly know.
They probably certainly know that I probably wouldn't.
Yes, but even though they probably certainly know that you probably wouldn't, they don't certainly know that although you probably wouldn't, there's no probability that you certainly would.
What?
Boils down to one simple issue. You are the Prime Minister of Great Britain. Don't you believe that Great Britain should have the best?
Yes, of course.
Very well. If you walked into a nuclear missile showroom, you would buy Trident. It's lovely, it's elegant, it's beautiful. It is quite simply the best, and Britain should have the best. In the world of the nuclear missile, it is the Savile Row suit, the Rolls-Royce Corniche, the Chateau Lafitte, 1945. It is the nuclear missile Harrods would sell you. What more can I say?
Only that it costs £15 billion and we don't need it.
Well, you can say that about anything at Harrods.
General, I was hoping to have a word with you. I wanted to sound you out about something. You're not going to like it.
Tell me the worst, Prime Minister.
It's going to come as a blow. Very unpopular with the services, but there it is. I'm planning to cancel Trident.
Good idea.
Now, hold on. Don't jump too quickly. Don't be trying to argue. I've made up. What did you say?
It's a good idea.
You mean you're in favour?
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, we don't need it. Big waste of money. Totally unnecessary.
Well, that's what I said.
All right.
And the whole defence staff agree?
Oh, the Navy want to keep it. It's launched from their submarines. Take away Trident, they'd hardly have a roll left.
And the RAF?
We could ask them. You're interested in the opinion of garage mechanics. I think they want to keep it. See, they want to drop the bomb from an aeroplane, you see. All they're really interested in is flying around dropping things on people. Probably very good at it. Couldn't even close the runway at Port Stanley. Probably never even find Moscow, and if they did, they'd probably miss it.
How are we going to get the policy through if only the army is in favour?
As you know, Prime Minister, the Chief of Defence Staff job is sure to be coming vacant. Technically, it's the Navy's turn. It's your decision. Now, if you were to appoint a soldier, of course, it's up to you.
Tell me, General, aren't you the most senior soldier?
As it happens, I believe I am.
Thank you. Good advice.
Oh, Prime Minister, can I introduce you to Mrs. Glossop?
Extraordinary. Last, I've actually come across a Prime Minister with a bit of sense.
Really? Where? Which is the lucky country?
He's going to cancel Trident. Wonderful. It's hard to believe my ears.
I'm surprised you're happy about reintroducing conscription.
Conscription? I didn't say anything about conscription.
Well, that's the whole point, you see. Slashes unemployment, wins votes.
Can't have conscription. We're an elite army. Best in the world. Professional, tough, disciplined. We can't bring in a mob of punks and freaks and junkies and riffraff. A quarter of a million football hooligans? Feeling potatoes in all shots?
Yes, I thought you'd say that.
Well, it's an ordinary army.
Like the one that won the last war?
I mean, all this equal opportunity nonsense, like America. Mm. They don't know if the troops that are posted to them are men or women, not until they arrive.
Sometimes not even then.
Right. Much better to keep Trident.
I thought you'd say that.
We must stop it. You must stop
it. One can't just stop the Prime Minister.
Well, we do.
We must slow him down. After a few months, most new prime ministers are more or less ground to a halt anyway. So, I'll have a word with the American ambassador tomorrow morning.
That was a good idea.
I thought you'd say that.
Now, the press asked to make sure that the BBC and ITN get good coverage on the White House lawn, you know, close to shot of me and the President.
Excellent.
And then there'll be more photo coverage inside the White House, just me and the President alone together.
Oh, splendid.
Well, and then there'll be coverage of me and the President at the start of the talks, that's the next day.
Excellent.
And then after that, the President say goodbye to me. Mm-hmm. With any luck, he'll take my elbow with his left hand, you know, like this. He did that with the West German Chancellor.
West German Chancellor, yes, indeed.
Any chance of ensuring that beforehand? Well, with the embassy?
It could be difficult, Prime Minister. Now I ask you to look at the cabinet agenda.
I don't know what we have all these embassies for. Any time you ask them to do something really important, I mean, important for Britain. I thought we were going to discuss scrapping Trident.
Well, indeed we were, Prime Minister, but I thought in the first instance that you might think it wiser to go into it thoroughly, closer scrutiny, review all the implications. After all, we are discussing the defence of the realm.
You're trying to stop me, aren't you, Andrew?
Indeed, no, Prime Minister, but the Cabinet must have all the facts.
That's a novel idea.
Well, there is a special reason why I thought you might want to leave it for a while.
What?
Well, I've learned from the American ambassador, informally, of course, that they would be very upset if we were to cancel Trident and not order another of their nuclear missiles instead.
There's going to be some tough talking. I might just as well have it out with the President when I meet him.
Yes, well, that's just the point, Prime Minister. Now, as you know, the agenda of your meeting with the President must be agreed in advance. I mean, you can't just go all the way over there for a chat.
Why not?
Well, you might not think of anything to say. And I understand that if this proposal of yours were to be put to the Americans, there would be a slight change of plan.
What change of plan?
Well, your meeting would not be with the President. You would be entertained by the Vice President.
The Vice President? The Vice President? I think I'm serious.
I'm afraid so, Prime Minister.
The Vice President? But even Botswana was met by the President, I thought.
Botswana hadn't just cancelled an order for Trident. I'm sure they'll do it very gracefully, Prime Minister. Explain that the President had catarrh or bruised his thumb or something. Fallen asleep, perhaps.
But this meeting with the President is vital for PR.
Then I can only suggest that you postpone the Trident discussion.
Humphrey, a Prime Minister must show that he's arrived. He must show that there's a new mind and a firm hand at number 10. He must be seen to have made his mark.
But you have, Prime Minister.
How? Cook. Seconded from the Cabinet Office canteen. To cook lunch for me here. What's that?
Something that none of your predecessors ever accomplished. A place in the history books.
Say, you've shown them who's in charge, haven't you?
A new mind and a firm hand and Trident.
In the history books, you say. So, leave Trident off the cabinet agenda for the time being. That is my firm decision. All right?
Yes, Prime Minister.